pleasure of listening to Brother Murray Chisholm. I asked him if he had a scripture reading. He said no. And I asked him if he had a subject. He said no. So, Brother Murray, please.
Good evening, everyone. So I was approached a couple of months ago to ask to give this talk this evening. My only instructions were, because it's the first night, it needs to be short. And the second point is that it has to be positive. So with those two things taken into consideration, I want to start out by saying that I'm glad we were all blessed with a safe and happy trip here. And I hope to see you all first thing tomorrow morning. Before I get going, I just want to express Sister Peggy's and my appreciation for everyone who has put the Bible School together. I know it's a ton of work, a ton of behind-the-scenes activities that go on, and your work in the vineyard is definitely appreciated by all of us here. I didn't give Brother Jim a topic this evening, but I thought about this for a little while, and I'm going to be talking this evening about opportunity. About what opportunities that we have. So when I look up in the dictionary or online or whatever, the definition of opportunity, this is what information I get. An opportunity is a set of events or circumstances that makes it possible to do something. Also, to accept challenges as learning opportunities. We, brothers and sisters, are all given opportunities to do better. By following the advice given to each one of us in the scriptures, and by looking at others of how they dealt with the opportunities that arose in each one of their lives, especially of those in the scriptures. Now, we all realize that there's positive and negative examples that we can all learn from. And I'd like you to remember that Every problem is an opportunity. As I mentioned earlier, I've been instructed to talk about positive things. And I hope, we probably all hope, that this is going to be a very positive week. So this evening, I want to look at the results of opportunities that some brothers and sisters had dealing with other folks in and out of the household. Opportunities come along in each one of our lives. We must at times be willing to take a risk when those opportunities do come along. Because we can remember the account in Isaiah 6 at verse 8, when the question was asked that there was a certain situation to deal with, and the response of the writer was, "Here am I, send me." For each one of us, brothers and sisters, I have been given this opportunity that when we can say, let me do it, because if not me, then who else? So with this evening, with your indulgence, I would like to speak about three people who were given opportunities. They each had to do the right thing at the right time. The first person I want to look at is taken from Joshua, the second chapter. And this is dealing with Rahab. We are all very, very familiar with the examples that I'm going to use this evening. And as I mentioned, the first one is Rahab. We recognize in this story that God directed these two Jewish gentlemen to her house, the Almighty knowing that it would be in her lineage that his son, many, many years later, would come. The Almighty looks at his creation, males and females, and see what they can become, not what they are now. When Jericho was going to fall, Rahab's house and all that were in it were probably going to be among the first to go to suffer what was going to be taking place. The interaction of these two men and Rahab is at first dealing with what she tells them. She is doing all the talking in this second chapter. Her faith in the God of Israel is shown possibly through her interaction with them. Because we can glean from the story that there's no husband mentioned. It's referred to as her house. She lays the flax out on the roof. Could it be from these two gentlemen, from their speech and from their clothing, that she recognized they were Jews? And what she and others had heard, what had taken place in regards to these people and this nation, it was her faith that motivated her when the opportunity came along to assist these two men by hiding them and directing the soldiers to pursue them in the wrong direction. Because of the faith this sister had, when the opportunity came for her, she did the correct things. She operated by faith. And it is interesting, if you have your Bibles open, if you take a look at the 11th chapter of Hebrews, when it's talking about the individuals of faith. So if you look at Hebrews, the 11th chapter, at verse 31, we read this. By faith the heart of Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. When describing Rahab, her faith is the first thing that is mentioned. What she did in her life wasn't of all that importance as far as the Almighty was concerned. In James, the second chapter, we read about being doers of the word and not hearers only. When the brother of our Lord was talking about doers, he correctly uses Abraham as an example of all the other brothers and sisters over the years, over the 2,000 years, that he could have used. And it is interesting in this second chapter of James that he then, after Abraham, mentions the woman Rahab. And why is this? Why would Rahab's name come directly after Abraham's in the second chapter? Well, one of the reasons could be because when the opportunity came along, She did the right thing. Brothers and sisters and young people, don't think of what is behind us. It's already gone. However, for those things that we can correct, when the opportunity comes along, don't let it be lost. When the opportunity came along for Rahab to show her faith, there was going to be no tomorrow. She had to accept the challenges. She admits she had seen these men, but her faith in what she had heard, that God was with this nation and did amazing things with them. She gets his agreement, if you look at that record of Rahab, she gets his agreement from these two men after the soldiers had left. Rahab heard, we read. Brothers and sisters, how does our cup of faith compare to Rahab's? Where do we stack up as far as our faith goes in comparison to this sister? Every problem is an opportunity. The second example I'd like to look at is the life of Ruth. And briefly speaking, when we think of the life of Ruth, there are three men, three deaths, and three widows. Ruth's path was not going to be easy. But also, neither was Rahab's. This young lady was determined, humble, hardworking, loyal, and kind. She is the great-grandmother of King David. She was a woman of steadfast faith who had forsaken her home and family in order to follow the Lord, one who treated her mother-in-law with respect, kindness, and love. The famine back home was over. Time for Naomi to head back home. Ruth had probably heard Naomi talking about her God during her marriage to Naomi's son, or possibly after his death. Because of her love and respect for Naomi, when the time came for Naomi to leave Moab and go back to Bethlehem, which is approximately about 75 miles, Ruth would not leave this woman to undertake this journey by herself. Jewish history states that Naomi, at this particular time, was approximately 60 years old when she left Moab, and Ruth, we can surmise, was in her mid to late 30s. She was also at this age when she married Boaz. Orpha and Ruth were married for about 10 years before their husbands died. Naomi had 10 years to tell her daughter-in-laws of her God and the history that had taken place in the time that Naomi was aware of, or also of what she had heard taking place in the past. Ruth was not exempt from having problems to deal with in her young life. When her husband died, was her father still alive? It only mentions the possibility of her going back to her mother's house. She had a great deal of faith in Naomi and in her God. However, it's marginally interesting that she's not mentioned in Hebrews 11 chapter, and there's different speculation of why is that? Well, it possibly could be that she was from Moab. Ruth was given the opportunity to go to Bethlehem with Naomi. All that had taken place in her life gave her the opportunity to overcome some problems that she had to deal with the last few years of her life. We look at her choice to go with Naomi to a completely different environment that she was unaccustomed to as an opportunity to support her mother-in-law and learn more of the God that Naomi served. Her loyalty and hard work was part of this young lady's DNA, and she was observed by all those who she was associated with of her character. The statement, "Meet the need," was accepted by Ruth on a number of different occasions. When the opportunity arose in her life, she stepped forward, accepting the challenges, and turned the problem into an opportunity to do what was right. In the 10th chapter of Luke, at verses 29 to 37, we have the third example that I would briefly like to look at this evening with you. It is the account, and as I mentioned earlier, all these things are very familiar to all of us, of the Good Samaritan. Like the other two examples, every problem is an opportunity. And in this account, there really was a problem to be dealt with or avoided, as we see the other two people doing in this record. It is generally felt that the man beaten up was Jewish, and the other two that came by were also Jews. They both saw the problem, but the opportunity they had went unfulfilled. Solomon stated in the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes that we read to help those in time of need. They should have been familiar with his instructions. And in that 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes, we're told, if we have the opportunity to help seven, it should be eight. In Matthew 25 and 40, the Lord states that if we are not willing, when the opportunity arises, for each one of us to help those in need, it is if we do not do it to him. We all know of the friction that existed between the Jews and the Samaritans. However, here is a Samaritan seeing a problem, and regardless of the person's nationality, he definitely did meet the need. An opportunity to help. No second guessing involved. There is no mention of a Samaritan seeing what had taken place and say, "But what if? But what if?" His attitude was, "I can help, I will do it." An opportunity with a positive outcome. Reflect just for a moment on the faith of this man. Also, the innkeeper, that this Samaritan would return if his cost exceeded what the Samaritan had left him. That Samaritan may have never seen that particular man again, but I think we can assume that when he was in that area again, he would visit the innkeeper to see how things went. And if the care of that man exceeded what the Samaritan had left, he would have made good. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 4, tells us that God is well aware of what each one of us do. And when the opportunity is given to us to do good, how do we react to those opportunities? Well, in the New Testament, we're given a few instructions in regards to opportunities. If you turn up, please, the 6th chapter of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, the 6th chapter, at verse 10. "As we have therefore opportunities, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." And Solomon in the Proverbs also deals with this subject. If you turn up the 3rd chapter of Proverbs, at verse 27, Proverbs 3, verse 27. "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it." If we have the opportunity, if we have the means, we should be supporting all. Like a lot of you folks in this room, when Sister Peggy and I go on a vacation, we usually have a list of things that we want to accomplish, a to-do list. And the lesson that I've learned over the years is, if you have certain things you want to check off your list when you go someplace, you need to do them up front. You need to get them out of the way. Because before you realize it's time to be heading back home, and you may have regrets that you didn't do certain things when you had the opportunity to do it. And so this week, we have a perfect opportunity to do a number of different things. To shake a hand, to give someone a hug. Think, everyone, we've all been blessed with the opportunity this particular week to learn, to encourage, and to build each other up in our sure hope. It's interesting, when I was thinking along the subject of opportunities and putting these words together over the last couple of weeks, for some strange reason, I was listening to the radio in the car, and a song came on, and it was, you probably heard it all before. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. It was a song by, I didn't have a clue who did it, but Cher sang the song, and maybe she wrote it. And it was entitled, If I Can Turn Back Time. If I Can Turn Back Time. Well, we all realize it's not possible to do that. We do not know what this evening is going to hold. We do not know what tomorrow is going to hold. And so my challenge, my encouragement to all of us, young and old, is to use this week with the opportunities that we have been given to build ourselves up and others in our faith as we wait and hope for the kingdom's soon appearance. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes, his third chapter, that there's a time for everything under heaven. And to a greater or lesser degree, we each had to arrange our normal routine to be here this week. Some had more to do with involved in getting us here than others. But all of us had to rearrange our schedules to a certain degree. We may never have this opportunity again that has been given to us for this week. Paul tells us, brothers and sisters, in Ephesians and in Colossians, to redeem the time that is given to us. In Colossians 4, verse 5, and Ephesians 5 and 16. And it's the same message that was given back those years, many, many years ago, as is given to each one of us now. We need to use this opportunity that we have been blessed with in a positive way. May our faith be as strong as it was with the two sisters that we quickly looked at this evening, and when the opportunity that has been given to us is available to us, we need to meet the need and to help out wherever we can those of the household as we all continue to run the race that is set before us. Thank you. Thank you.